Good morning and welcome to the programme. Are we facing winter energy shortages? We'll hear more about warnings from the energy regulator. Three men are charged with the murder of notorious criminal Whitey Bulger. Find out about the controversial politician who's tipped to be New Zealand's next ambassador to Ireland. And Serena Williams, Ronaldo and Tom Brady. What makes an athlete able to continue at the top of their sport long after others have been forced to retire? It's almost back to school time, and with that comes after school activities. But for many, the money just isn't there for extras this year. Jen Hogan tells us more. And it's Friday, so later on the gathering will debate the big stories of the week gone by. Our number for text is 51551. Our email address today, cb@rte.ie. And on Twitter, we are at Today with Claire. First this morning, behaviour change needs to happen fast because there is a significant risk to energy supply. That's according to the Commission for Regulation of Utilities, which ordered electricity suppliers to find ways to curb the surge in demand at peak evening times. In a document sent to electricity companies, the CRU said there will be serious challenges in meeting demand for power this winter. Well, to take a closer look at this, I'm joined on the line by Caroline O'Doherty, Environment Correspondent at the Irish Independent, and also Dr. Paul Dean, Senior Research Fellow at University College Cork. And Caroline, I'll start with you. Can you just explain to us what's happened here? We know that last night the CRU ordered electricity companies to find ways to curb the demand at peak times between 5 and 7, but there's a real urgency behind this request.
There is, Claire, and it shouldn't be anything, it shouldn't be a surprise to us, because we've been hearing a lot over the last year and a half about the difficulties that our energy supply, our electricity supply nationally is having meeting demand and keeping up with demand for a whole bunch of reasons. We don't have enough electricity generation plants. We don't have enough reliable plants. There's been a lot of them down for maintenance. We have a huge and increasing demand. So the gap, if you like, between what can be supplied by all the generation plants in the country and what can be imported and so on, and what's being demanded is narrowing all the time. And there are particular kind of peak times during the day, and in particular the evening peak, at which that sort of gap is really, really narrow. And there's really concerns about that, particularly at winter time. So we're creatures of habit. Our society and economy is set up that people come home around 4 or 5 and the lights go on and the heating goes on and the TV goes on and the appliances go on and the oven goes on and the shower goes on and everything, and kids are bathed and all the rest. And there's such a surge in demand around that time that we have heard in the past that literally, you know, a spare, if you like, gas-generating, gas-powered electricity generation plant might have to be switched on from a state of doing nothing to suddenly it has to be switched on just to meet that demand. So it's a critical time period. And what the energy regulator is doing is saying, it's stressing that we are in difficulties meeting the demand, and it's kind of focusing in. It's a broad document, so it's looking at a lot of different times and use and types of users, including really large energy users. But it is focusing, I suppose, from a household point of view, on those couple of hours, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. And it's highlighting those as it's something that we know. It happens every day. It has happened every day for decades that surge in demand happens. And it's saying, do something to address that. Do something to change your customers' habits. Incentivize them whatever way. They're throwing it out there, and within 2 weeks they want the electricity supply companies that you and I pay to come back and say, well, look, this is what we think we can do.
Mm. So how have the energy companies reacted to this?
Quietly. The documents were made available last night. They have been talking to them over the last week or so. So what we have seen is something not from the individual supply companies, but ESB Networks has suggested a kind of an initiative called Beat the Peak, where you would actually, various companies would ask their customers to sign up to this deal where you would get a prompt. You'd be contacted and said, look, you know, actually energy demand is really high now. Could you switch off something? Could you delay? Could you not put on your wash now? Whatever it is. And build into that some sort of reward scheme. Now, that's very difficult, Claire, because we've got 2.4 million households in the country. About less than 1 million of them have smart meters, which actually give the kind of information to the supply companies that this household is using most of their energy at this particular time. Of about 1 million that have smart meters, I think it's less than 15% have actually signed up to a smart tariff, which means that the way they're using their electricity is reflected in what they're paying for it. So they will pay a peak peak rate, a peak fee for peak time usage,
yeah.
but it will be compensated for by, you know, good deals late at night or whatever.
So it's
hard for them.
It seems then that the domestic consumer, that will be, we'll all be asked to modify our behaviour, but the regulator says that 62% of the increase in demand up to 2025 comes from a small number of extra large users, in particular data centres. So domestic consumers are not to blame, and yet they're going to have to modify behaviour. Is that what's going to happen?
Yeah, we are a little bit to blame, except that it's natural behaviour. And, you know, energy companies and the national grid and every policymaker should understand that that's when the peak in demand comes. But because it's such an urgent situation, that's why the energy regulator is saying if you can do anything to change people's behaviour, do it. But yes, we're not the biggest draw on electricity demand in this country. As they say, the what they call the large energy users, and they have extra large energy users. And within the extra large energy users, they're specifically picking out data centres. And we know that over the last year, there's been such talks about that. So there's a list of proposed changes and tariffs. I'm calling them penalties because that's essentially what they are. That extra large users who perhaps are not modifying their electricity use during times of system alerts or amber alerts, when there's an alert literally goes out to all the energy companies and to the country generally to say, look, at the margin between the supply at the moment and demand has got really, really tight. So if anything goes wrong, if an electricity generation plant suddenly went down for a reason, you know, we could have blackouts. And also if they're using it, say, at times when the wind energy is low, the renewable energy supply is low, so that they're having to, you know, crank up the gas stations and crank up Money Point, the coal station. So it's, again, it's to try and influence their behaviour. They are the biggest users, but they're also... It's a trickier one possibly to change, to turn around as well. We haven't necessarily seen, certainly policy hasn't necessarily encouraged them to change their ways. So, but if they're going to be charged more, we have to see whether that will influence them and will ease the burden on what has to be asked from the ordinary consumer.
From the domestic consumer, because people will be listening to this and they'll be worried, you know, will we be charged more at peak times? And surely the easier answer is to ask the big users, the big commercial users, to pull back between 5 and 7.
Yeah, absolutely. There is a difficulty with trying to charge the ordinary consumer more between the peak times because, most people do not have a smart meter, which actually can tell the power company that's when they're using it. So how do you then sort of discriminate either negatively when they're using it at peak times or positively when they're putting on their big appliances at night? So that is a tricky thing, but I suppose it's not beyond the power companies to find some sort of way. And you know, even though we've had so many price increases, and this comes at a bad time for anybody looking at their electricity bills. I suppose it isn't beyond the power companies, you know, scope to just say, well, we're going to have to raise oil prices. I'm not saying they're doing that. They've been quiet so far. It would be a PR disaster. But there are issues and the energy regulator wants action swiftly.
Okay. Caroline, stay with me if you can, because Dr. Paul Dean, as I said, is with us as well, Senior Research Fellow at UCC. Paul, thanks for joining us this morning. We're getting a lot of messages from people about the role of data centres in all of this, which I'll come to in a moment. But this intervention from the regulator surely highlights the seriousness of what we're facing now as we head into the winter.
Yeah, good morning, Claire. And I suppose when I was reading this document yesterday, the first thing that really struck me was the tone and the urgency and the agility that the CRU are moving at. Typically across the world, regulators don't move at this speed. And that agility, I suppose, really reflects the urgency and the precariousness of the situation that we are in at the moment. And the CRU document quite rightly points the finger, I suppose, at the major drivers for electricity demand in Ireland, which is primarily large energy users, primarily data centres. And as Caroline said there, look, they're not responsible for 100% of the electricity growth last year, but they're responsible for about 70% of the overall growth that we saw last year. So what the CRU document here that was released yesterday really tries to focus on is making sure that large data centre users shoulder the financial burden and economic burden of the responsibility for changing their flexibility. So while there is elements in terms of what's demanded for the residential customer, the overall impact on the residential customer is about €26 increase on your bill over the year. That's about €2.20 a month. The data centres and the large energy users, Claire, will certainly be seeing a way more significant increase in their electricity bills if they're not willing or not able to move their demand to other times of the day or other times of the week.
Quite right. I'm sure plenty of people are saying around the country. And what about that basic question coming through on messages to me here? Can the data centres reduce their usage of electricity from 5 to 7?
Yeah, and some can and some can't. Data centres aren't a homogenous group. Many of them are very different. But if you think of, let's say, the large corporates, you know, if you think of the Facebooks and the Googles, there are certain tasks there that are non-critical tasks. The tagging of photographs, the storing of certain types of data in social media, that's non-critical. And I suppose what the CRU are trying to get at in yesterday's proposals, it's not about using less electricity. It's often just about using electricity at smarter times of the day. So really what the data centre owners need to look at is those non-critical tasks that they're using. Can they do it at different times of the day? Or else can they do it in different countries? You know, a lot of these large corporates have data centres in Ireland. They may have data centres in Arizona, in Europe. Maybe switching those tasks that can be done in other countries, doing that to avoid the pressure on the power system here in Ireland. So it's really putting it up to the large data centre owners to make sure that they can do this. Because if they can't do it, they're going to pay quite significantly if they can't move their demand.
OK, another listener says, tell the government to stop inviting data centres here. We don't have enough for ourselves. This one, why are we letting all of these data centres use up our electricity? It's crazy that households have to suffer because of them. Is there merit in that?
There is indeed. Look, we do need to stand back from the data centre surge at the moment. And I think there's time for a pause, certainly until we get a kind of a line of sight out of the current energy crisis. You know, Claire, we have, you know, public campaigns from the government at the moment, which are correct, encouraging domestic users to reduce our energy use. That's necessary. It's needed from an environmental perspective, from a social perspective and an economic perspective while we get through this energy crisis. At the same time, we have a foreign direct investment policy, which is encouraging data centres in Ireland. Those two things don't square. Something has to give. We need to pause the demand of major electricity and major energy growth in Ireland until at least we can understand how we're going to get out of this crisis.
What do you think is meant when we hear that language around incentivizing people to use smart tariffs? Does that mean charge more at these peak times?
Essentially, it does, Claire, but I think we need to manage our expectations about what we as domestic consumers can do. You know, you come home from work at 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening, you put on your dinner, you put on your appliances, you know, television and lights. There's very little, really, I think, that residential customers can do outside of that. You know, you're not going to expect people to have their dinner at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the evening. Certainly, there are certain things like the dishwasher, like tumble dryers, that I think a lot of people are already moving to off-peak times. But we have to manage our expectations about what residential customers can do. So it makes a lot more sense to deal with the 100 or so large data centre owners and get them to move their demand significantly, rather than trying to deal with 2 million homes and get them to move incremental elements of their power to different times of the day.
Mm-hmm. Which they may feel aggrieved at being asked to do, if the reason for it is because these large energy users are causing the problem in the main in the first place.
Yes, and as well, to add to that as well, you're not talking about saving huge amounts of money by running your dishwasher later in the day. You're really talking about a couple of euro cents here, you know, over the course of the day. So it's very difficult to justify this economically from a household perspective. Now, there needs to be nudges. We need to try and do that. While it is small at a household level, at a national level, if you get a million or so houses to do this, it does add up. But really, the focus of the CRU proposal yesterday is correct. It puts the burden and the responsibility at the major cause of this challenge. That's the large energy users, that's the large data centres, and making sure that they're paying most to get us out of this.
Mm-hmm. There's also a safety question, Paul, isn't there, around running your appliances at night?
Yeah, and you've got to be very careful, Claire, especially with things like tumble dryers. You know, there's a real risk in terms of fire safety with Flint and tumble dryers. So you've got to be careful, you know, and also people maybe who might be living in an apartment or a detached home. You know, putting on your dishwasher or putting on your washing machine at night can cause noise interference for you, for your neighbour. So again, different households will be limited in their ability to move different loads around the place, and it's not always clear, not as straightforward what we can do.
And Caroline, not everyone has a smart meter. Will the regulator now be pushing the energy companies to roll those out at a pacier rate?
Yeah, absolutely. I think what's one of the big sort of disappointments from even a national policy point of view is that, A, the rollout of the smart meters has been slower than anticipated. So they do expect that nearly every household will have one, you know, in the next 2 years, is what they're told, by the end of 2024, so just 2.5 years. But at the minute, it's you know, it's only about 1 million who have them, less than 1 million. And as I say, only about maybe 15% of those people have actually switched, are actually using the smart meter. So they've switched to a smart tariff. So that's, you know, that's a problem. The energy companies, the electricity supply companies have basically failed to sell to the customer, you know, the idea and the benefits of the smart meter. Partly that's because I think a lot of smart meters were installed during lockdown. So somebody arrived at your door and basically got, you know, you signed permission for them to install this in the side of your house and went away and you never saw them again. Or somebody might arrive at your, from a, at your electricity supplier, arrive at the door with a, you know, a clipboard and the lanyard, and ironically at tea time, I think they are trying to divert us away from using our appliances at tea time, and start to talk to you about smart tariffs. And it's just not a convenient or suitable place and time to start rethinking what tariff you're on. There are some price comparison websites who've done some good work in this, but, you know, and give you an idea of what it might mean if you switched your tariffs. But then when you go back to your own electricity supplier and look at their website, or perhaps, it's very hard to understand. You know, and Paul has mentioned there, it's, you know, the savings there are not brilliant, because what they consider off-peak is like, it'd be very late at night. So there might be a need to be a rejig there, so that you start to see the cheaper prices maybe kick in from 8 or 9 o'clock, when you don't mind maybe putting on the wash then, because you are still up and you can keep an eye on it and so on. You know, at the moment, I think some of the tariffs, the really cheap electricity only starts like at really antisocial hours, and that yes. just doesn't suit the vast majority of people.
I have a message here, Paul, from somebody who says, and they want us to switch to EVs, electric vehicles. What madness, according to that listener. But I mean, we have to think about that too. If it's not having an impact now, once the number of EVs starts to ramp up on our roads, that is likely going to affect electricity too, right?
It will, but it'll be relatively small, actually. EVs are incredibly efficient. To drive an EV a kilometre, you need about half of the amount of energy that you need if you're using petrol or diesel. And look, the amount of EVs in the country at the moment are relatively small, and it's very, the impact on the grid is almost negligible. Now, as we get towards 2030 and post-2025, as EV sales ramp up, it will certainly have a more bigger impact on the grid. But really what the CRU, what the policymakers need to know is get ahead of that crisis now, you know, not wait until 2025 for it to become a challenge. But EVs at the moment aren't really the problem. The problem is squarely at the growth in large energy users over the last number of years.
Fair enough, but from a cost point of view, if you're going to be penalised for using electricity between 5 and 7, you've got to be careful when you're charging it.
Yeah, exactly. But still, like, if you're lucky enough to own an electric vehicle at the moment, you're still very much in the money, even with the high prices of electricity at the moment. But when you look at the high prices of petrol and diesel, you're still probably saving about €1,200 a year in your overall fuel costs for running that EV. So, and again, that comes back, Claire, to the incredible efficiencies of EV. So EV owners aren't going to lose out financially or economically on this. They're very much in the money because of the alternative costs are just much higher from petrol and diesel.
Someone has texted me here, Paul, to say this is not the data centre's fault. It's because of a lack of planning and capacity in our electricity production. A bigger country means more power needs.
Yeah, well, I suppose the major growth in demand has come from the data centres. But at the same time, as Caroline mentioned at the start, we have seen a reduced capacity to generate electricity. Now, this is where we have dropped the ball, certainly. We have stopped building conventional power plants in Ireland. We have failed to deliver the capacity that was necessary. So there is a number of dimensions on that element. We know that the best way to meet our renewable energy targets and to move away from fossil fuels in the long term is to have more renewables. Now, that's really good. And renewables do that because they reduce the use of fossil fuel power plants, but they don't replace the need. And we haven't fulfilled this need. We haven't met this need for building these power plants over the last number of years. And that's why the CRU are left with no choice but to bring in emergency generation. And what we're seeing at the moment with these proposals is that the cost that generation now has been spread across society.
Yeah, a listener reminds us about the profits that energy companies are making, and Mark Paul is writing about this today, and he reminds us that the ESB made record profits of €679 million last year. But this listener says, why not offer half price power to houses from 7 p.m. to 3 p.m. Encourage instead of punish for a change.
Yeah, and that's a really good sense, you know, a really good sensible question. We heard Merlin Lynch there on the news just before we came on, Claire, talking about the kind of ideas that energy companies are going to have to try. They need to be proactive, they need to be innovative, and we do need to have, I suppose, stronger financial incentives to move the washing machines, the dishwasher loads from one side of the day to another. If it's only a couple of cents, very few of us are probably going to make that change. So there does need to be a good financial reward, or certainly a very good reason to have the radical changes that we need.
Dr. Paul Dean, thank you very much, and Caroline O'Doherty too. Coming up, we're going to be hearing more about this Apple security flaw that we heard about overnight. That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.